once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where I have the pleasure right now of driving on the new Southern Expressway. If you guys have ever been to Sri Lanka in the last, decade or so, you know how horrible the roads are over here. So it's quite a treat to have a nice road that goes from the southern city of Colombo to the southern, more southern area of Gaul. And the fact that you can get to the south in an hour and come back up in an hour as compared to about 3 hours, what it used to take before, is really nice. Straight shot, not too much craziness on the road here, because it's a paid toll road, and a good chance, nice window, where, you know, we can catch up a little bit and talk about that which God would put on our hearts to share and to relate to one another. Because, you know, life and the journey of life is something that all of us are on in this window of time that we're here. Now, all of us came into this world, we came into this world out of what is eternity into this place with time. And when time is finished, where do we end up? Well, we're back into eternity. You and I go into what is a timeless existence after this life is finished. So, now in this life, we experience time. We experience the paradigm of time. The paradigm of time. Yeah, so that window, that experience is what you and I live with and live through while we're here. Now, do you ever wonder why God allowed for us to have the experience of time? Because time was His idea. You know, if you go back, if you take the very start of the Bible and you get the book of Genesis, in the beginning, you know, I mean, that's the very start, very first words are in the beginning. So, what that shows us is that there was a beginning. So, before that, there wasn't a beginning, that it just was. And then after God began that process, He created time out of eternity. He created an existence of that we experience time. So that was His idea. And in the process of having time, then with the fall of man that took place in the garden, we then went from that, from the experience of time, to an experience of life and death, wrapped up into the experience of time. So, the experience of time, and then life and death in time. Because, you know, before that, Adam would not have died had sin and separation from God not entered into the human existence. So Adam would still be around in today's time if that had not happened. So you and I experience time. You and I experience this reality. Now, why is it that God, when Adam fell, when the whole thing stopped there, why is it that God did not just wipe the whole thing out and start again? You know, why didn't He just say, okay, that was a mess, that didn't work, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to clean the whole slate, pull in those that are mine, and call it a day. Literally and figuratively. Call it a day, and that's it. I'm just going to start with something else. Why is it that God allowed for instead for things to go on, to carry on, to go a little bit further, and then from there to send His Son into the earth to redeem His creation? why was it necessary that God do that? Because, you know, the blood of the Savior, the blood of Christ Jesus, why was it necessary that that took place? You know, I was reading something last night. You know, it was a little foreword by Arthur C. Clarke, where he talked about how the estimates for the number of people that have walked on the face of the earth, you know, for this is around when he wrote the 2001 Space Odyssey, was about 100 billion. And if you look at the number of stars in our galaxy, that's about 100 billion. And interesting, isn't it, that, you know, even in the galaxy that we're in, that the number of people that have walked on the face of this earth estimate is around the number of stars that are in our galaxy. Stars that would be like our sun. Stars that would be like the one that we orbit around from the earth. Isn't it interesting that the scriptures even talk about how, you know, the righteous will shine like the stars. When it talks about in Daniel, the book of Daniel, 12th chapter. I mean, you know, there's so many things, so many depths to what it is that God is doing with this reality and with this experience that you and I go through while we're in the earth. I mean, there's so many layers to it. And it's not about get everybody to do what we say, do what we do, agree with us, don't agree with us, let's fight, let's kill, let's have a war in the name of some religion. Forget all of that. That stuff is ridiculous. Those are part of the world system that seeks to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Scripture says that the thief cometh not but for to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you see people seeking to live their lives like that, seeking to do that to other people, you know where they're coming from. Jesus, when James and John were going through, about to pass through a particular city, and Jesus, and they weren't going to accept Jesus there, the disciples said, "Shall we call down fire on this place, just like Elijah did, you know, back when he was about to be picked up by the soldiers?" And Jesus rebuked them. He said, "The Son of Man came not for to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He says, "You don't know the manner of spirit which you're of right now." See, Jesus came into the world to save your life, not to destroy your life. But that which works in the world works to destroy you and not to save you. Now, here's one of the ironies of that truth. How does the world destroy your life? Well, the way the world destroys your life is by trying to get you to save it. The way that you end up actually saving your life is by losing it for Christ Jesus, by losing it for the gospel, by losing it for the things of God, by losing it unto God's plan and purpose and surrendering your life to Him. That's how you find life. That's how you find what's real. That's how you find an existence that has meaning and purpose. You don't find an existence that has meaning and purpose by trying to create it in yourself. Because you yourself, as an individual, as a human being, separate from God, are limited. You're limited. You and I, if we are separate from our Creator, we are like a branch that is cut off. There's no life in us without connection to the Father. Why? Because He is the source of life. Life came from Him. He gave life unto us. So because He gave life unto us, we receive life from Him. Without a connection to Him, we don't have life. Without a connection to Him, what we end up having is a limited existence, a limited reason. Your life is limited. And so basically what you end up having at that stage is, okay, got to get a good education, got to find a good job, got to find somebody good to marry. If you're a guy, she's got to be cute, she's got to be sexy. If you're a girl, oh, he's got to have some money, he's got to be able to provide that security, right? And then you get a little bit older, and you got to have your kids, you got to have a nice house, you got to have a nice car, you got to take your 2 weeks vacation, then they got to go, your kids got to go through the same process, and then what do? You get stuck in a retirement home, and then you die. Okay, what was that all about? Oh, and the whole way across, yeah, you got to buy your products and your goods and your services and, you know, get the latest brand and the latest fashion and comment on YouTube videos and people's Facebook posts and try to live vicariously through other people that have a life. Have you ever noticed on Facebook that everybody in their pictures is smiling? Everybody in their pictures looks like they're the life of the party? Oh yeah, everybody's got great life on Facebook. Yeah, uh-huh. But do they ever really share their struggle? What it is that they're going through? What it is that they feel inside? How they feel cut off, lonely, frustrated, disappointed, without direction, without purpose, without an existence or a meaning? Do you ever see that in somebody's status update? No. No, because you know what Facebook is? Facebook is how people would like you to see them, not really who they are. So how everybody would like you to see them, not really the person that's there, not the struggles they go through, not the true life that they live. Wouldn't you like to live your life with what's real? Wouldn't you like to know what's real and what has meaning and purpose? Instead of this dumb, stupid, surface reality that everybody says is important. Look, God made you, and God loves you, and He intended that you would have a life, a true life. He intended that your existence would mean something, that you wouldn't just come here, live, breathe, eat, have sex, get a job, die. No. He intended that you would experience life. Jesus, what did He say? I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God intended that you would have an abundant life, a full life, a real life. Not some crappy existence. But you know what? You know the way that happens? Is it happens on His terms. It doesn't happen on yours. You know, there's a lot of people, the way that they relate to God is, see, they've got their own personal agenda. They've got their own set of things that they want and that they desire. And the way that that's going to work for them is, they just want it. They want that set of things that they've made up in their mind. And God to them is, to the extent that He can provide those things that they already want, is the extent to which they will love and serve Him. Because if you'll give them what they want, yeah, sure, we love God. But the second that they don't get what it is that they want, okay, they'll go try to find it somewhere else. They'll go run over to some witch doctor and try to drudge up some incantation to get what they want. They'll go try to find some political or social connection to try to get what they want. People chase after money, after power, after possession, after pleasure, after all of these things that do not satisfy the soul. And we talked a little bit, a few audios back, about Ecclesiastes, about the book of Ecclesiastes, how God took Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived, as far as a man goes. Now, Jesus was wiser than Solomon, obviously, but Solomon was put in the earth as the wisest man that ever lived for a reason. And the wisest man was incidentally the richest man that ever lived. So God put him in the earth. If you see the price of gold now, you know that Solomon was the richest man. And God put this man in the earth and allowed him to experience everything that the world had to offer. All of it. Yeah, he didn't have Facebook, but who cares? Solomon experienced everything that the world had to offer. He tried it all. And with trying it all, he also experienced it with his wisdom. So the whole time he was trying everything, he was also testing it with wisdom. And testing the validity of it, testing the substance of it, testing, and he kept going back to this thing of meaningless, it's all meaningless. So he would build something up, but he'd realize, hey, I build this thing up, but then when I die, I leave it behind. And I don't know if the guy that's coming after me, if he's going to be wise or dumb. I mean, he tried pleasure, he maxed that out, had the best women that the world had to offer him during that day. I mean, with between wives and concubines, it crossed over 1,000. So, there was no lack in quality or number. And he said, that's meaningless too. You're not going to find it there. You're not going to find it in pleasure. You're not going to find it in power. You're not going to find it in possession. And all the time that he kept going through all of these different things, he kept testing them, testing them, testing them. And what did he find out? If you're curious, if you want to save yourself a good 30, 40 years of meaningless existence and going through the same lessons that he did, just go find the book of Ecclesiastes and read those last few verses of the last chapter. He'll tell you there what the whole duty of man is. And if you can do that and follow that, you've got a chance to jump past 30, 40 years of meaningless existence to get to something that's actually important, to get to something that'll actually fulfill you, to get to something that'll actually give you a chance to have the existence that you were meant to have. See, now, I know for myself, because of the blessing of God upon my life, I have been allowed to see and experience a lot, more than most people. And if you know me personally, you know my story. By God's grace, I've been allowed to experience more than most. And I've seen the hints of what Solomon alluded to as well, in that all of the things that the world would say is important are really meaningless. You are not going to find the existence that you crave inside of your heart. You're not going to find it outside. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, "The kingdom is within you." That change that you need is something that needs to happen inside of you. You're not going to find it outside. You're not going to find it in an external situation. You're not going to find it around you. You know the reason that so many people get wrapped up into drugs, alcohol, illicit sexual behavior, just trying to sedate their mind, just trying to get some relief, just trying to find something, because they don't want to be stuck in this mind all the time. They want to know that if they can't get an answer to this, then they just want to find at least some relief from it for a little while. But the problem is that that doesn't do it for them either. So they keep going back. Higher and higher levels, more and more alcohol, more and more drugs, more and more sex, more and more of whatever it is that will give them a moment where they just don't have to think about it. they're empty. Because you know what? Here's the thing. In the teachings of Buddhism, they talk about how, you know, the path to enlightenment is to empty yourself. To empty yourself of all desire. To empty yourself of all, you know, that all those things that there are, that there's, you know, all of those things are part of the grief that people experience. And to empty yourself of desire is part of the way of enlightenment. And yes, there's a start in that. Yes, there's a truth in that. But Jesus even took it further. And the Spirit of God even took it further. When he said to be filled with his Spirit. Yes, you can be emptied of certain things, but God desires that you would be filled with him. That your life would not be a vacant void, but that your life would be overflowing with his Spirit and life. Just imagine a glass. Okay, if you pour everything out of the glass, there's nothing inside. That's a state of existence. But God's desire is that rather that you would be filled with his pure Spirit, the pure Spirit of the living God, and that his Spirit would overflow your life. It would well up. Jesus said those that would come and drink from him, he said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble at heart." He said, if those that would drink of his Spirit, that it would be like rivers of living water that would flow from within them. That they would not be empty, but they would be filled with him. And by being filled with him, it would overflow into something, into life, into a dying world around you, into a world that needs him. That God would flow through you into them. See, God intended that you would live a fulfilled life. God intended that you would live an overflowing life. But that life doesn't come on your terms. That life comes on his terms. Because in order for you to be filled with his Spirit, you have to come under his dominion. Under the lordship of Christ Jesus. See, lordship, the word Lord, even that, I mean, that implies that you are under his authority. A kingdom, the kingdom of God. There's a king with dominion. There's a king and there's a dumb. The kingdom of God, there's a king and dominion. So the kingdom of God is the lordship and the rulership of Christ. And that kingdom of God, the intention with that, for you and for I, is that we would live under his lordship. The intention of that is that you and I would live under his dominion. Now, when you are under the dominion of the King of Kings, that which he speaks to you, you listen. That which he instructs you to do, you do. And there's life in following his instruction. There's life in doing his will. There's life in pleasing him. What did Jesus say when he was in the world? He said, "I only do what it is that I see the Father doing." Jesus himself was under the dominion and the lordship of our Heavenly Father. Jesus himself lived a life here to model for us how you and I live a successful life. Jesus did that for us so that you and I would know how to do it. Instead of, you know, you wondering, okay, how do you live a successful life? Just read. You see it in there. He'll speak to you out of that. And what did Jesus do while he was here? Well, he said, you know what? I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what it is that I see him doing. So when Jesus healed the man at the pool of Siloam, he told him, hey, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't go dump him in the pool. There's a whole other thing about that, but the one thing you know there is that what was going on there was a trick. Because God leads his people by the still waters. He restores our soul. He doesn't keep them out there waiting and waiting and waiting for 37, 38 years, just hanging on. No, when somebody meets God today, he grants them life. He grants them truth. He grants them an existence the moment that they come into contact with the Son of God. The moment that they extend their hand towards him and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, give me life. You know, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, you're going to get what you look for. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Jesus Christ does that. See, when somebody looks unto him, when somebody looks unto the author and the finisher of their faith, they find him. You find life when you look in the right place. You're not going to find life looking at porno. I'm serious. I know there's a bunch of you guys out there that struggle with that. You're not going to find life there. All you're going to find is a quick high, a quick stimulation, but you're going to feel empty afterwards. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You find life. Life is sustainable. Life carries on. Life fills you. Life grows your entire existence. It doesn't take away. It builds you up. God intended that you would have life. You know, the thing too, sometimes what happens is people think that, you know, God is going to take away their fun. That God is going to take that. No, you actually find what life is meant to be when you follow him. But you know, here's another thing too. You got to know this. I'm going to tell you the stuff that people aren't going to tell you, because usually they have a vested interest in what you know and what you do. But hey, I don't know you personally, most of you, but God knows you. So I'm going to tell you this stuff, and I know it's going to help you. Alright. If God intended that you would have life, God intended that you would know truth. Now, when you have life in you, when you have truth in you, all of a sudden, the world wants to get you back. See, the world doesn't want somebody that's free running around. The world doesn't want somebody that knows the truth out there bouncing around telling other people what the truth is. So what does it do? Well, it does everything that it can to try to shut you up. Now, how does it go about doing that? Well, you know, one way is just hard oppression. Hard oppression. Just going to try to beat you down to the point that you can't even speak. To the point that you're just going to be a recluse. You're just going to hide in your place. Hide in your apartment. Hide in your house. Hide in a little corner. Bundle yourself up and just kind of sit there. So it's going to try to beat you down. But you know what? The righteous, we may fall 7 times, but we get back up again. We always get back up, because God puts it in us to get back up. And we get back up stronger every time, because His Spirit's in us. How else are they going to try to get you? They're going to try to buy you off. Hush money. yes. You know, the higher that you go in Christ, the bigger the offer will get. Oh, yeah. The bigger the offer will get. Look, if you're going to sell out to the world, the biggest offer you'll ever get is if you're a follower of Christ. I know, because I know the offers that have come my way. And the offers that have come my way, if I would have taken them, would have put me at the highest levels that this world has to offer. At a very young age. But God's Spirit has already bought and paid for me. Because of that, I know what I have in Him. So there's nothing the world can offer me that is worth what I have in Him. But, hey, I'm just telling you, if you're going to sell out to the world, follow Christ for a while and see the offers that come. But if you sell out to the world right away, I tell you this much, they're going to buy you for cheap. Most of the people that are in the world and the world system, they've been bought for cheap. You know, when they tried to buy Jesus, they did. Luke chapter 4, go read it. They tried to buy Jesus. The devil approached Jesus in the wilderness and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said unto them, all of this is mine to give you. And I'll give it to you right now if you just bow your knee and worship me. Ultimately, what's he saying? If you submit yourself to my lordship, submit yourself to my kingdom, submit yourself to my rule, come under what it is that I'm doing, and I'll give it all to you. Leave the light and follow the darkness. Leave life and submit yourself unto a kingdom that is about death. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. He said, depart from me, Satan. Rebuke Satan. For he said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He knew what was being played with. He knew what the devil was trying to do with him. And he knew that eternity, not just his, but yours and mine, hung in the balance. So that easy offer would have destroyed our chance for life. See, Jesus came that we might have life, not that he could become a big shot in the world. He died on a cross so that you and I could have life. Not so that we could become a big shot in the world. Now, whether you and I get lifted up or not, that's unto him. Because promotion does come from the Lord. But with the blessing of God, he adds no sorrow to it. When God blesses, there is no sorrow with it. But when the world sets people up, there is regret. There is regret for what could have been. When the world sets you up, you're going to regret it. When you take the offer that the world has, you're going to regret it. You know, there's a kind of a cartoon movie recently. What was it? Beowulf. If you haven't seen that one, you can take a watch and look. And in that, Beowulf, he sells out to the world. Ultimately, you know, he consummates himself with that which is the representative of the world. And he's given a kingdom. He doesn't even have to do anything. It's just given to him. And even when the wars and all of those things, that he goes forward and fights and he wins everything. But he knows in himself that it came at the price of his soul. And so there's regret. There's remorse. There's agony in his spirit for what he did. And when you sell out to the world, you regret it. There's remorse. But here's the thing. Right now, if you hear this message, part of what this is God reaching out to you and saying to you, you don't have to go the way of the world. That the blood of Christ is sufficient to pay the price necessary for your redemption, for your salvation. That you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That you can have life. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what he did on that cross for you was he set you free. He set you free. He made a way where there was no way. Because you had to die. I had to die. As a result of sin, as a result of separation from him, we had to die. And there was a price that had to be paid. And what Jesus did, that word propitiation, the substitutionary sacrifice for us, he went and said, I will stand in your place. I will pay the price that you can't pay. And he did it. He did it for you. He did it for me. And the thing that you and I have to do is accept it, believe it, receive it, and live it out. If you bow your knee before him, and if you say, Lord God, save me. Jesus, save me. He'll save you. He'll save you. You know what? And we needed a Savior. You know, right now, the world that we live in, just look at it. Just look at it. Look at the mess that's been created when people try to do things their own way. And when people try to do things apart from him. Look at the mess. Look at it. If you take a look at the world apart from him, you realize that man apart from God creates his own hell. Man apart from God, he doesn't need to go to hell. He makes it hell. You know, that's another thing too. When people all complain about, you know, okay, when this life is over and you know, how could God send people to hell? You know what? People choose it. You know what hell is and you know what heaven is? That is the eternal choice that you make while you're here in the earth. So what happens is God gives people free will choice. They choose and they live with the consequence of that choice. So if they choose life, they go on from this into life. If they choose death, they go on from this into death. So, why people get mad at God is interesting to me. Because Proverbs 19 says, a man's ways destroys his own life, and yet his heart rages against God. A man destroys his own life, yet he gets mad at God. Isn't that funny? So, somebody will go screw up their own life, get the consequences for their actions and their choices, and then they get mad at God. That's dumb. Rather, submit yourself to his lordship. Ask him to lead and guide you. And as he leads and guides you and has mercy on your soul, follow the path that he has for you. That will be the path of life. That will be the path of truth. That will be the path of your redemption. Know that you don't have to live a substandard existence. You can live life. You can live truth. You know, just go outside and take a look at the sky. And look at the clouds. Look at the trees. Look at God's creation. This whole life, this whole world is held in balance by Him. He put everything there so that you and I had the space to choose. You know, we had to have an existence and a window of time where everything was what it was and choice could be made. We had to have light and dark in this paradigm. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be able to really choose. It wouldn't be a free will choice. It would be being pressed to make that choice, being compelled to make that choice. And you would just be a robot. You'd be a robot. And God didn't make robots. He made free will beings to be able to choose. That's why from the very start, even on the FaithFix homepage, at the bottom of the page, you'll see it says, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." And God's instruction for you is to choose and go with that choice. Embrace that choice. Look, if you're going to be a worlder, then go be the best worlder you can be. Just sell out to the world. Sin boldly. Don't sugarcoat it. And just see where that takes you. See what that turns you into. And if you're going to follow Christ, then sell out to Him completely. Don't do it halfway. Don't be 80%. Don't be 90%. Go 100% all in. All of yourself. Give it over to Him. You know, God loves you. He really, really loves you. And I thank God that He's allowed for even this way, just to get that message across to you, so that this day that you know that the one that created everything, the one that created the entire universe and all that's in it, loves you. And He extends His love to you this day. And He says, trust Me. Follow Me. Be led by My Spirit. And I will guide you through this life and this world. There is more that you are made for than what it is that you know. And I will reveal it to you as you trust Me and follow Me. Jesus, what did He do when He was on the earth? How did He set the example? What did He do with people? He said, look, come and follow Me. That's how He did it. And for the people that tried to keep Jesus in a certain spot, He didn't stay. He told them, come and follow Me. And when they came and followed Him, they found life. If they refused to follow Him, like the rich young ruler, they just went away sad. Because though they may have had something in the world, they walked away from life. So, accordingly, that's what we share with you this day. Follow Him. Let His words remain in you, and you will have life. Obey that which the Spirit of God speaks to you, and you will have life. Trust Him. And with that, hey, just know God loves you, and we love you too. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, or you can write to us through our Facebook page as well. Just search for FaithMix on Facebook, and you can find us there. All right, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Talk to you again really soon. Bye.